Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. Today, we're talking about operating multifamily in a post-pandemic world. Joining me today in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a true leader in the multifamily industry, Dave Marcinkowski, a partner with Madera Residential. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, Paul. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. And thanks for coming to Houston and being in the studio, because I know that this is not your normal hangout is Houston. This is not where you live. Madera is headquartered in Lubbock, Texas.
That's correct.
You have a reputation as being an innovator in the industry for a lot of the things you do, and I think it's important for our listeners to know a little bit of how you got your start. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that of the probably 400 now people that I have interviewed on this show in the last over four years. The vast majority of them started out as leasing agents. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you did, but nope. Tell us a little bit about how you got started.
Similar though. So when I graduated from college, I grew up in Michigan and went to a small school up there. I graduated college with a degree in economics and accounting, but my master plan was to become a professional caddy. And I actually had a bag on the Florida tour and was going to move down there with a buddy of mine. And like a week before, calls me up and is like, hey man, my parents they're just not cool with me taking this degree I just spent a lot of money getting and trying to become a caddy. I just don't think I'm going to be able to go down to Florida with you. And I chickened out and decided I needed a job. So I went to work for a temp agency and I got placed as a bookkeeper at Edward Rose and Sons in Farmington Hills, Michigan, one of the bigger operators in our space. Mm-hmm. And I did that. I was a bookkeeper for about 3 years and kind of got to a point. I hated every minute of that, mainly because it was a non-traditional family office. Everything was done with paper. I was doing Mylars and making my own rent rolls with paper and pencil every month, and I was a master 10-key guy, and kind of just got sick of it and decided I wanted to do something different. And quit that job and got totally blessed to fall into a job with a company called Marquette Management out of Chicago. Mm. Literally moved to Chicago in like 3 days. Somebody grew up in Michigan. It was kind of interesting. And I got to go over there to be director of training. We were one of the first users of Yardi Property Management. Mm. And my job was to implement it and train it and maintain it. And I didn't know up from down when it came to Yardi. I mean, it was brand new, out of the box stuff. In fact, I had to teach myself everything. I taught myself SQL scripting and some different things just so I could be successful in that role.
Wow.
Was able to work up through the chain at Marquette and was running their operations, but met my wife, who's from Texas, and we were living in Chicago at the time, and she was in pharmacy school. When she graduated, she wanted to get back home. Didn't think I'd end up back in Lubbock, where that's her hometown. So right. Why'd you end up in Lubbock? That's how I ended up. I married a girl from West Texas. But it just sort of worked out. I got to meet my partner, Charlie, and another partner named Paul who went on and did his own thing. But we started Madera. Mm. And we were fee managers the first 4 or 5 years that I was down there, and really kind of was like, hey, we can do this. We're really good at operations. All we need to do is go raise money and find deals. Mm-hmm. And we're pretty good at that too. Charlie was actually out already starting to like help our customers find deals. And so we decided we'd raise a little bit of money and bought our first deal down here in Baytown, Lakes of Madera, or it's called Baker Downs at the time. We mm-hmm. renamed it Lakes of Madera. There's two little ponds on the property and there's a bunch of trees. And so lakes are our two lakes, and Madera is Spanish for wood.
Yeah.
And so that's where it came up. We said, you know what, we're going to name our company after our first deal. So that's how we got to Madera.
Give our listeners an idea of when that happened.
That was 2008.
Okay.
So yeah, we bought that in July 2008, right before, so September 2008, Hurricane Ike hits. Mm-hmm. We were in a non-named storm coverage zone, mm-hmm. Which means we took a lot of damage. We didn't have any insurance proceeds to cover those damages, mm-hmm. so we had to use rehab dollars to help fix trees down, broken glass, roof-related things and whatnot. October 2008, financial crisis hits. And, you know, it went from bad to worse to nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Lakes, you know, I don't know what that property is like right now, but at the time it was extremely challenging. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. We thought we were really good operators. We thought we knew what we were doing. Lakes kind of filled in the blanks, if there were blanks. I mean, we really had to like pull our bootstraps up and work through that. I've been told by people that would know that we were one of two deals bought in the summer of 2008 that didn't go back to the bank.
Mm.
And we fought through it and we ended up coming out the other side. Our investors ended up a little bit longer than anticipated, but they ended up making three times the amount of their investment by investing in that deal. And I think it, you know, I hated every minute of that time. I mean, I was living in Baytown for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the challenge, I could tell stories and stories and stories. I mean, we just, everything that could go wrong went wrong. And any kind of unit related thing that you could imagine probably happened during that time. Kind of like the Ed Rose time though, those bad times really kind of sharpened us.
Yeah.
And made us who we are today, which I think, you know, one of the things I like to rest our head on at Madera is we're good operators. We know how to run apartment communities.
Yeah. No. And what she said, I mean, it's amazing that in that time, when you bought that property, that you did come out without going back to the bank. I mean, that was a really, really bad time for our industry.
We didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
We had to figure it out. That's the only deal we've ever had to go back and ask our investors for a little bit of more money.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever want to do that again.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, we look at the challenges we face in today's environment with COVID and everything else like that, and we can lean back into those days and say, hey, remember when we had to figure this out?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, you know, there's not like this textbook. We all know if you're a multifamily, there's no, you know, guide that we can go pull out and say, what do you do here? Because every day is like a fingerprint. It's different.
Yeah.
And so you have to kind of have your thinking caps on and you have to think outside the box and you have to come up with solutions. And what typically works in those things, just do the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, make the right choices.
Well, you know, the title of this episode is Operating Multifamily in a Post-Pandemic World. So, I mean, you obviously are known for being a great operator. Madera is known for being a great operator. What are some of the things that you can share, kind of give us a preview of for the next segments coming up, some of the things that you think are important for someone to be thinking about now that we're hopefully exiting the worst of the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think for... you got to look at how cap rates have gone over the past year and right now. I mean, people are buying deals on really, really low cap rates. And, you know, you got to then be able to come in and create the value
mm-hmm.
necessary to do that. And COVID threw us all for a curve. Like, you know, there are things we've all had to do differently during this time, choices that we've had to make. I'd argue a lot of times the people and friends of mine that I've talked to who I think have made choices they regret, it's been, you know, we tried to follow that you know, the cookie cutter approach. And that's not going to necessarily work. You really need to know what's going on in your market.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as we look to the next segment, the things I'd like to talk about is like, I think it's an operator's world right now.
Yeah.
You know, if you're buying deals right now, if you take that for granted, you're going to find yourself on, I think, in a bad place. And so you really need to make sure if you're not running them yourself, you've got a really good partner there
mm-hmm.
and that you're looking at ways to create additional revenue.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to share some of those ideas that I have, as well as how do we cut expenses in a way that isn't going to take away from the value of the property. And
yeah.
So we have to be more efficient. That's all operations is. How do we generate more revenue? How do we be more efficient on the expense side? How can we be more profitable? And I think COVID has provided us with some interesting opportunities.
Yeah, and during before we started the show, we had a conversation, and you mentioned that there are people out there that are buying properties now, and they're buying at a price that they can't afford to make mistakes.
Right.
And if they're really good at raising money, but they're not great at operating, which I don't think is an uncommon thing in our industry. They're kind of setting themselves up for some real issues. What do you recommend that?
I mean, right now everybody's trying to look at the market and they're going, man, you know, occupancies are great. We're going to raise rents and rents are going to keep going up. And that's true. I think that without a doubt, but expenses are going to go up. Wages are going up. There's no question your personnel costs are going to go. So if you're sitting there going, man, I'm $1,250 to $1,350 per unit per year in payroll. Well, guess what? That number probably is not going to be the case as we kind of move into a post-COVID world. We're having to all do different things as it relates to attracting talent. If you're mm-hmm. paying that kind of dollar, you're not getting the kind of talent that can run an apartment community the way that it needs to be run. Material costs are going up. You know, we can't even get appliances right now. What are you doing as an operator to get that figured out? And if you're looking at it from a deal standpoint, like, oh, everything's just the same. If I need, you know, if I want to put an appliance package in, it's going to cost me $1,200, $1,300, $1,400. You know, guess what? That's not the case anymore. Mm-hmm. So if you're not recalibrating the expense side to tie in with the world today and some of the inflationary things we're seeing, you're going to pay a price.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as it relates to people, we have to, you know, we're seeing it with this eviction moratorium. Like, you know, I think there's been this mindset like, well, we'll just lower our credit criteria. We'll let more people in when we get into a pickle. I think those properties right now are suffering because those are the folks who unfortunately couldn't pay their rent or have chosen not to pay their rent that we're now ending up with, you know, properties that are sitting there. Maybe they're 95% occupied, but they're only collecting 80% of the income because a certain number of their residents are paying. Well, what are we doing about that as operators?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the deal folks, the folks that just sit there and try to underwrite deals and make them work are not taking into consideration what a post-COVID world looks like.
All right. Well, we're going to be back with much more right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM. COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to pmworkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing operating multifamily in a post-pandemic world. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a true leader in multifamily, Dave Marcinkowski, a partner with Madera Residential. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners that if you'd like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Dave, in operating, I guess, any multifamily property prior to the pandemic, there were certain challenges. But obviously, after the pandemic, there other challenges have cropped up. What are some of those challenges that people need to be aware of and that you're seeing in the industry that need to be addressed?
Yeah, there's the obvious stuff. I mean, like this eviction moratorium stuff is going to be a challenge until we can get past it. And even when that gets lifted, it's going to take us a long time to kind of clean that up and kind of get through that. I think in a post-pandemic world right now, you know, the CARES Act brought a lot of money to the table. I think we're finally starting to see that money trickle down to property owners. It's critical that you've got either you as an operator yourself or your partner in that regard understands all that it takes to get into that. My folks tell me it's about a 33-page application. Mm-hmm. And Houston's a little different. I know Houston's got their own program, but I mean, like in the DFW market, going after those CARES dollars is a challenge, and you have to be on your game to go get that. And if you're not, if you're hoping that, you know, your property owners do, your management company is doing that, you may be missing out on opportunity because it's there right now. We're starting to see it.
Yeah.
But like getting past that's a big deal. But today, I mean, you know, what we're seeing is what everybody else is seeing. You can't get materials like you thought you would. you can't get labor like you thought you would pre-pandemic. And there's lots of, we can talk forever about, well, why is that? But I think we all can agree that in today's environment, it costs more to do things.
Yes.
And so like, what are you going to do? Like, how are you going to attract the right talent? You know, if you're going to beat it just on price, you know, I'm just going to pay my people a little bit more. And that should open up the door for a whole world of people coming. I mean, I was at driving here actually today, and there was a landscaping, like a clear mom and pop landscaper, and had a sign in the back says, you know, starting pay $20 an hour.
Wow.
I was at there's a Brahms in Lubbock. I think it was $15 an hour starting pay. You're seeing those kind of numbers right now. Well, those numbers are pricing out, like finding leasing and maintenance right now is almost, it's extremely challenging. So what are you gonna do? Just gonna assume that eventually it's gonna come back around. If you do that, you're in trouble. You're gonna have to come up with ways in which you incentivize people to wanna work for you. So what does that mean? Well, you know, it could be something like implementing, you know, giving them a pay raise, but maybe implementing a 401k program or doing those kinds of things. Or it could be like, hey, what if we went to a 4-day work week? Mm-hmm. You know, can we do that? Can our leasing, our maintenance staffs, you know, would they be enticed to want to work in a 4-day work week? And, I've talked to a number of friends in the industry, and that seems to become more of a norm. And so we're going to have to be creative when it comes to attracting the right talent. But take that out of the equation, like cost associated with renovating a unit. You know, we're value-add guys. We've bought a lot of older assets and done updates to them. In today's environment, you know, you really just need a good unit and you can get a lease. You don't need, we call them classics. You can lease a classic, and with the way rents are going, you can maybe even get your performer rents for a renovated in a classic unit. So don't do any more renovated units. Mm-hmm. You're not gonna have to find the people to do it. You're not gonna have to pay the additional costs associated with doing a renovated unit. And you're gonna probably get to the same place. But I've talked to a number of friends of mine in the industry. It's like, well, yeah, but our plan said we're gonna do 40%, 50% of the units into this updated level. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know, that was pre-COVID. That was right. When, you know, it made sense that we were all kind of doing that. In the post-COVID world right now, especially in Texas, where occupancies are going through the roof and demand far outpaces supply, we don't need to be doing those things. So are we savvy enough to kind of put a stop on that and say, you know what, we're just going to stay occupied and continue to do the right thing, focus on renewals, focus on, you know, keeping our property occupied with the right residents, collections, and those kinds of things, and stay away from some of this heavy lifting that goes into a renovated unit. Mm-hmm. I challenge folks to think about that. You know, let's look at opportunities that exist because of post-COVID world. More people today are working from home.
Right.
I think there's different opinions about people going back to the office. We talked about beforehand. I don't think it's going to be as bad as a lot of people are saying in terms of people always working from home. But at the same time, we need internet more than ever. Mm-hmm. And so one of the premises that I would share with your listeners is that internet is the fourth utility. It's something that everybody needs. So what are we doing as apartment operators to provide that internet? What are we doing to make that easy? We've got, most of us have probably, if we're smart, we've gone out and created some sort of marketing agreement with a Spectrum or a Comcast, and we get paid a little bit of money depending on penetration. And I'd argue that that's an old model that doesn't work anymore. That the new model today is that we go out and we build the infrastructure out. We partner with a Comcast or a Spectrum, so we don't have all those upfront costs. Or we partner with our company, Quex, we're doing that as well. And we basically bring high-speed internet to the whole property. And now when you move into our property, you're paying for your rent and all the other ancillaries. You're also paying for, we call it an smartment package. That's kind of our word of the day is a smartment. but you pay for that $89 a month at a lot of our properties, and you get 300 megs of broadband internet, and you get 200 digital channels. Your residents are paying today anywhere between $150 and $250, depending on where you are and how many services you have for internet and video. So we can give that to them for half the cost or less than what they were spending, saving them money and giving them a product that, quite frankly, would beat anything that they're going to get in the marketplace today. At $89, there is a operating revenue to the property owner of at least $25 per unit per month. So what does that mean? We did 26 Madera properties the first time that we rolled this thing out. And that was 3.5 years ago, give or take. 7,200 apartment units. We have, take that $25, and for Madera, it's more like 31 or 32. Has to do with occupancy and things, but you're making at least $25 per unit per month. That's over $60 million of value at today's cap rates by just doing one thing that creates $25 per unit per month. I mean, that's a staggering number. And it's not like it's some kind of voodoo magic. It just, it works. That model works. And we've replicated it. We're doing it. We've done about 17,000 units to date. We've got another 20,000 in the pipeline of units we're putting this solution on. Some of them are our own solution where we just bring Wi-Fi only. It depends on what kind of contract an operator has on their property. So if you've already got like a long-term marketing agreement with, say, Comcast, they're not going to let you out of that agreement to do something with us. But what we can do is we can go back to Comcast and say, hey, listen, these guys want to do the same program we did over Madero that we've done with a number of other properties in the Houston market or wherever, whatever provider you are. And you're going to put up the infrastructure costs. In a lot of cases, you're going to get some door money up front. And you're going to end up with something that generates a whole bunch of net revenue to your property that you ultimately get to capitalize when you sell that deal.
So of those 7,200 units that you did with that huge return, what type of issues or maintenance did it cause for your teams on site?
Well, if it's done right, I mean, one thing to note, every property apartment deal is like a fingerprint. They're all different. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the walls don't line up from upstairs to downstairs. And that's why you need somebody who's an expert who can walk, make sure that everything's being done correctly. Operationally, it's just, you know, it's not like some of the other problems you run into because you're kind of rewiring the whole property. When you're doing something like this, you end up with even a better asset as it relates to the service that you're providing. At the same time, a lot of times you're dealing with a cable provider and there's always challenges associated with that. Mm-hmm. The advantage of working with somebody like us is that we understand those challenges, we've been through them. And it's things that the real risks fall into the places like marketing and branding and getting that story out and working with residents. And so it's not like you flip a switch one day and everybody's paying you $25. You know, there's a 12 to 15 month ramp time, you know, starting off paying nothing for a few months and 25%, 50%, 75%, and so on. But you got to work through your renewals. Those are your hardest ones because these are residents who already have another solution on the property. You got to give them an incentive to be able to convert over, but it's very doable. And then with new residents, it's easy because they're like, well, wait a minute, I don't have to go through all the pain in the butt of getting that service added to my property as part of my rent. Great, sign me up. we were worried when we first did it. In fact, borderline terrified. Like, well, what if our residents don't like this solution? I mean, on the surface, it makes sense to us. And we kind of did some surveying like, yeah, we're getting some good feedback. Okay, we're going to roll the dice. We didn't screw around. We did 26 properties up front. but we, you know, we took that risk. And what we learned very quickly was our residents want convenience. They want that, you know, hey, I don't have to pay an application fee. I don't have to call and stay on hold to sign up for it. I don't have to take time off work to have it installed. I don't have to, it's just on when I move in, I pay it with my rent, it's just a line item of my rent, and it turns off when I move out. I love that convenience. When COVID hit, we looked like geniuses because everybody's home, everybody's watching TV, everybody's needing internet. We had a number of, like, we started kind of going around asking people, okay, serving people, what do you think? And it was overwhelming, the positivity that we had. We had some people who couldn't get internet because, maybe they didn't return a box when they were, you know, 5 years ago, or they have a blemish on their credit and they weren't able to get it. And so they would have had to go to like a library or something during COVID when their kids are home. Like one lady said, you know, I had to do second grade all over again because I had a second grader and I have to help her work through second grade because it was all online and I couldn't get internet at home. Well, you guys provided me that solution to get it. Otherwise, I'd have to go and find a hotspot somewhere and have to sit in the car with my kid to teach them how to do second grade.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, and if you're wondering, it's like, okay, that's not an A property. That's a workforce housing property.
Right.
And those are the folks who need it the most. And you're sitting there wondering if you're like, listening to this, like, hey, I've got an older asset, you know, it's this, it's that, the other thing, it's going to be a pain. Those are the folks who need it the most. And so why not go out and find that solution?
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. And we've got a lot more to talk about in the technology realm right after these messages. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry. emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of operating multifamily in a post-pandemic world. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a true leader in the multifamily industry, Dave Marcinkowski, a partner with Madera Residential. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. PM Workforce, the leasing management company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Dave, I know we want to talk a lot about technology, and I know that it in that list I just read off about our exclusive sponsors, that you do business with at least two of them.
Yeah.
Allegion, I know, does a lot of your smart locks and so mm-hmm. forth. And then I know you work with EconServe as well.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about those relationships.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, well, let's talk about EconServe first. So, like, again, post-pandemic world, you know, what are the kind of things you need to be doing? You know, if you're not looking at opportunities to save on utilities, you're missing a huge boat. I mean, and don't take that for granted. What EconServe does with their low flow toilets and some of the other services that they provide with the shower heads, and also just checking for leaks. Like, the checking for leak thing is, you know, especially in an older asset, I think we take that for granted. But like, you know, the kind of numbers we talked about with cable and internet and bringing that to a property, you can get those same things by just providing energy efficient devices that like EconServe does on your property. And so you really need to be looking at those kinds of things. And I had no idea when we first started with talking about EconServe, like the possibilities. I mean, you kind of had a sense, but it was like a kind of a risky deal. And Lakes Madera is a great example. We didn't use EconServe at Lakes Madera. We used a different provider back in 2008. And we went through the process, and the general sense from my partners was like, man, you just wasted a lot of money going through that. And I never felt really good about that whole thing until about 5 years later, and we were getting ready to start selling that property, and the buyers were calling us up going, wait a minute, why are your water bill like a third of what everybody else's water bill was in the market? And we had just bought two more deals in Baytown. I went back and checked the numbers, and we had a deal that Lakes Madera was 392 units. We had 192 units down the street that the water bill was twice as much as the 392 unit property. I was like, whoa. And sure enough, I'm like, wait a minute, that means that worked. We actually did it. You know, this is like something that was big. And so about that time, we got a relationship with EconServe, and we looked at a bunch of our properties, and they've saved us hundreds of thousands of dollars in utility and water expense. And you start putting a cap rate to that, and it's huge dollars.
What do you say to the owners that are our listeners that say, well, yeah, but I'm passing that expense on to my residents. It doesn't benefit me.
Well, I mean, there's some truth to that. But I mean, at the end of the day, if you can give your residents a lower water bill, then there's an argument if you do it right, you can charge more rent. If I can sit there or more people are going to want to live at your property, you got to fill out the utility addendum. You got to put what your average water bill is at the bottom. You know, if as a renter, if you're smart and you see that your property down the street is charging you, a resident, $50 for water, and we can charge $20 for water, you're going to play that to your marketing game. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to pay for itself. At the same time, you know, it's not just the saving, you get the savings on the expense side. that you're only passing down in a RUBS world 75%. So you are getting additional savings there. And I'd say the third thing about it is like you're creating value in your property. That's an area that when you go and you sell that property, that's going to bring value to a buyer. I think that's an important piece. And it's also like the leak thing. Like you have no idea if you have an older asset, there's probably water running somewhere. And having professionals go through and having, you know, once every upfront go and actually identifying all those leaks and fixing all those leaks is a big, big deal.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the, the technology. I know one of the things that you did at Madera is to create Quixt.
Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about Quixt, how that all got started and what it's doing now.
Yeah. I mean, about 4 years ago, I told you when I got in with Marquette, I went from a company that was pencil and paper to we're gonna be one of the first users of Yardi, and I was a Yardi drink the Kool-Aid, and I still think they're a great organization. But in time, you know, you saw what I think is what's happened in our industry right now is the big guys that kind of like lead the charge in the form of technology. They're still using the basic premise of their data structure and things like that from the early 2000s, late 1990s. And their whole, they don't integrate well with other providers. You know, they don't give up data easily. They're charging for the data. It's kind of led to this environment to where we're stuck having to pick a tribe that we're going to go with. It's going to be our big PM software. It's going to be our tribe. And whatever they decide is how I want to run my property. And, as an operator, I may not want to run it the way they want to run it. I may think I have a better way of doing that. And I'm limited. And so we kind of got frustrated with that and said, you know what? Screw that. We're going to just go out and build our own. So we started building our own PM software, and Madera has been on our own PM software since January 1st, 2019, and we've been enhancing that product ever since. Eventually, we'll bring that out to market, but in today's environment, as we were going through that, we started to look at other things, and one of the things we looked at was smart thermostats and locks. It's a big deal in our industry today. You read a lot of articles about it. I think, one of the things that's out there is it's only for the Class A properties.
Right.
You know, the other ones can't afford it, or it's too hard to install. And we said, well, that's bogus. Let's see if we can't solve that problem. And so we did some different things with our smart, we invented a smart thermostat for the multifamily space. One of the things we did is we took our hub, like in today's environment, you got to have a hub, a third device that sits somewhere that has to have electricity and needs Wi-Fi to control those devices. And we said, well, we don't want a hub. Let's just take the hub out. We're going to build in the thermostat. So there's $250 of your cost out the window, and we don't have to worry about having to maintain a third device. Second thing we did is we said it's got to be easy to install. We partnered with our friends at Allegion. Mm-hmm. We came up with a lock, one of their locks, and we tied it in with our thermostat, and they're easy to install. So, if you're sitting there with a workforce housing type deal, a C, we installed this on C deals. That's what it was built for. It's to be able to be an A, a B, and a C. There's no reason that an A property should have this and a C property shouldn't have it. The third thing we didn't like was the need for a managed Wi-Fi network. So, if in today's environment, you got to go and have, even though we've built a Wi-Fi network out and we're providing Wi-Fi to our residents through this Quix Connect piece, we said the idea of having to have another Wi-Fi network just to control IoT doesn't make sense. And so we went out and we found an old technology called LoRaWAN, L-O-R-A-W-A-N, stands for Long Range Wide Area Network. And we built our smart thermostat on that technology. So the beauty of LoRaWAN in today's day and age, it's not very easy to hack. And if you are hacking, you're hacking a very small packet of information. So in Wi-Fi, you've got this dedicated stream where there's data kind of flowing through it. For LoRaWAN, it's like sending small packets of information is what it's good for. You can't send video or any kind of pictures or any kind of big files, but like small packets of information, like open my door, send credentials, change my thermostat, what's my temperature in my unit. Those kinds of things are perfect for what LoRa is there for. It's got a range of up to 10 kilometers, about 7 miles. And so we've actually installed this on a property in Benbrook where we've got properties that are kind of near each other. We've got one antenna on one property running the IoT devices for 500 apartment units.
Wow.
Across multiple properties, which now instead of having on a 200 unit property, 200 hubs, I've got one antenna on a leasing office that controls all those devices. So our cost for install is, under $400. Our monthly recurring is under $4. And we can install it quickly and easily, and it works. We got an Android app, got an iOS app. It works on Madera properties. The beauty of that is that you can install it on residents, and actually, if you can charge $15, $20, $25, you're making $15, $20, $25, depending on how much you can charge. And you add that onto your internet thing, and now your $60 million that I mentioned earlier maybe turns into $100, $120 million by just doing those two different things.
That's amazing. I mean, that developing that technology, I mean, you're in the perfect position to test it. You've done that. It's worked. And are you going to be rolling that out now too?
We are. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're having some of the challenges you're seeing with supply chain right now with getting devices made. We've rolled it out on Madera properties. We'll look to take it out to the market here as we move into the second half of 2021. But yeah, our plan is whatever we're building out, Madera is the perfect sandbox for us to go test it, make sure it works. If it doesn't work well for us, we're not going to take it to the market.
Yeah.
That's what we did with our video and internet solution. That's what we're doing with our IoT solution. And I know in the next segment, we're going to talk about some other tech that we're developing. But at the end of the day, this is a different view of the world than I think the industry is looking at. I just got done writing an article for Forbes talking about, you know, this tribalism that we have where, you know, we're so reliant upon our big providers telling us how we should be running our properties. And you have all this great new tech that's getting developed. We have, you know, things like blockchain and VR and AI and machine learning and all the different, you know, like choices that you have in that space. And yet our industry is still trying to figure out how a person can lease an apartment sitting at home in the middle of the night watching TV. And from nuts to bolts, from filling out a guest card all the way through, moving into that, you're signing their lease and getting credentials to get inside that unit. The things that exist just in that one little caveat aren't really the right solution. And we got to be able to come up with those kinds of solutions. It's going to take a new kind of thinking. And I think it's going to take challenging of the system. And there's lots of little guys out there, and I'm afraid the big guys are holding us back.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to be back right after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we're back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of operating multifamily in a post-pandemic world. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today in the studio is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a true leader in the multifamily industry, Dave Marcinkowski, a partner with Madera Residential. Dave, we talked a lot about technology in the last segment, and I know that you I've got some other things that you've been working on, Madera's been working on, and Quext. Let's talk about that and how it can apply to help multifamily.
Yeah, I think one of the cool things that we created, and we've had this for, everything's like in the 2.5-3 year range, but we partnered with a company out of New Zealand called Soul Machines. It was a couple of guys that worked with Peter Jackson on the Hobbit movies. And what they've created is a digital person, a digital human. They like to call them digital heroes. Basically, you can go right now to any Madeira website. In the bottom right-hand corner, you can click, you'll see a picture of Mia, and you can click on that, and you can actually, Mia or Jordan, you get to pick which person you want to interact with. Comes up. It's clearly a digital person. It's not a real person, but it eerily looks like a person.
Right.
What's crazy is we can make them even look more human than they already look, but we've been instructed, you don't want to dupe anybody, so right. give them that digital view. And then you can interact with Mia or Jordan as it relates to leasing an apartment. So now, instead of me sitting there with a typical chatbot, maybe I'm texting back and forth with some bot asking some questions, you can sit there and say, hey, Mia, show me a two-bedroom. Show me the living room. What's the rent for this unit? Do you have any available? What's your pet policy? Show me the dog park. Anything you can ask for from a leasing, over 1,000 different interactions as it relates to leasing. What we're trying to do in that, with everything with our digital heroes is anything we can that's predictable, we want to synthesize. And so we think we're good operators, and we're talking to other great operators, and we're finding like those best answers. And we're creating really a bot, a digital person that can answer all those questions. The great thing about a digital human is they're 24/7. They don't get COVID. Mia Jordan will be speaking Spanish here by the end of the third quarter. Hmm. And so now you have a bilingual person who can really answer anything you want to ask about leasing an apartment. If she gets stuck, she has what we call elegant fails, where she will, people will ask, will you marry me? She can answer that question now. You can say, Mia, tell me a joke. You can do a lot of things like that, but maybe there's something that requires a personal touch that she can't get to, then she can do a handoff to a real person. But she can easily be your level one, level two customer service. She'll be answering the phone. She can answer texts and emails right now. Where you text, your question, and we'll send back a response. We'll also send you a link to Mia, and you can actually talk to her and answer the questions you want to ask. We think that's the future of the world. And, leasing is our first use case. As you think about multifamily, the sky's the limit as it relates to the predictable. So, Mia, what's my rent balance? Mia, pay my rent. I want to submit a service request and go through that whole process. Maybe she's even able to answer things like, have you tried this? Have you tried that yet? Before you actually call somebody in from on a call in the middle of the night or something like that. Mia, where should I go to dinner tonight? It comes down to we can synthesize all of that. And we think that's the future. Now, I got interviewed by a Fox affiliate out of New York City about a year. It was like right at the beginning of COVID, because this was kind of a hot topic. And they're like, the first question was, are you trying to eliminate, people? Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the day, there is an argument that you can definitely do that. And as we talked about earlier, the demand for leasing agents far as outweigh the number of people in that space, in our space, looking for those types of jobs. And so mm-hmm. that could be a huge advantage. On the flip side, at a minimum, we can now free up our leasing staff in this particular scenario to be able to do things and offer a different level of customer service, humanize the exceptional. And so I think we'd all like that. I think that's mm-hmm. what's going to differentiate us. And I think, at the price point of what a digital person would cost, it's a great supplement to your already current staff. And as we talked earlier, with the post-COVID world, staffing costs are going up. And so the need for a digital human, we think, is going up as well.
And that need could be met ultimately by you providing that for other operators?
Yeah, no, it's available today.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we have non-Madeira properties that have digital humans right now. We built a website product that goes along with Mia. And so you go to any Madeira website, you're going to see the Quex website, and you can actually interact. So this is funny, because like people are like, yeah, it's a really cool idea. And I'm like, well, it's not an idea. It's real. It's right now. You can go to one of our properties today and you can interact with them. And I got friends of mine who go do, and they like call me up and be like, oh, what did I just go through? Like, that was awesome. It was kind of weird at first, but once I got used to it, that's like, I can totally see how that's the future. What can you do with that? We can do whatever we want with it.
Yeah. Surely that's all you're doing right now. There's nothing else.
we're just having fun. I mean, yeah. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
There's such a huge opportunity in our space for good ideas. And a lot of it's tech, but there's lots of other things too. And I really challenge your listeners, we talked earlier, like people come from our industry from leasing, or I was a bookkeeper. It's not like you have to have a PhD in real estate to be good multifamily. You need to spend the time learning it. Mm-hmm. But we are an industry that is open to everyone, that anybody can become, trust me, I wasn't a great student in school, and now I'm a partner in a large technology company and real estate company, and we'll talk a minute about some of the other things that we're doing. And so it's just fun when you get into it and you come up with new ideas.
Yeah.
One of the other things we did is we acquired a digital bank last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Viva First. We're bringing out banking solutions to the Hispanic demographic, typically an underbanked group. We're creating very specific solutions that we think cater to that market. And as we're doing that, we can say, like, okay, well, how can this fit into multifamily? One, we have a lot of folks in that are Hispanic that live in our property, so we can offer them those banking services. And when you think about it, as I'm going through my application process, all the data that I need to open a bank account is on our rental application. Mm-hmm. So now I can easily say, hey, would you like a bank account as you're going through the leasing side? And is there a way for you to offer that service to them? And we think there is. And so that's one way of looking at it. The other way you can look at it is what if you could gamify the resident experience? What if instead of us giving concessions and things like that, what if we were actually able to put dollars on somebody's in their bank account, mm-hmm. if they met certain things, like they paid their rent on time 3 months in a row, or they renewed, or they referred a friend, and you were able to build up, you know, a savings account for them as you're going through that process. We're having a lot of fun in that space. We have some really unique partnerships coming out. We have some really unique ideas that I can't wait for our industry to see. Hopefully here in Chicago, people will be able to actually see them when we have an AA here in August.
Yeah, that would be great. Tell us a little bit about when you come to when you get an idea like that, what's the process?
I mean,
because you've talked about a lot of things that no one else is doing that you guys have done and obviously tested it through Madera. What's the process of that?
Let's talk about the thermostat. It's a funny story. So, and it's really kind of hilarious how this whole thing played out. So me and a guy named Sean Massey, who's our CIO, CTO, were sitting, he was the first real Quex hire was Sean. And he and I were sitting in my office one day. He was kind of sitting in the doorway and we started talking about smart thermostats and locks. And we were like, we were talking about hubs and all this other stuff. I'm like, oh, this is kind of weird and this doesn't work. We don't like it. What could we do? And like he or I or both of us at the same time started talking about the door, mm-hmm. and said, you know, I wonder what if we could build inside the door? What if we could build all this tech? What if we had, you know, a doorknob, the smart door was the smart lock. But what if we had like electricity coming to the door jam? So when the door closes, it charges the whole thing. And let's say we had an iPad on the front that was also a peephole, you know, and we could, you know, we had like an infrared laser that could check what the temperatures were in each of the rooms. We're like, what if we could have like, you know, for people who had like high blood pressure, we could put like medical devices and plug them into our door. What if we could do all these things? We'll have a package hatch at the bottom that could just pop open whenever a UPS driver came and it had a camera so we could see their like badge and say, oh, that's a UPS driver. We're going to open up the package hatch so they can slide their package in. And I mean, literally like this like infinite list of cool things in the door. And we're like, that's it. Genius. It's done. Let's go build a door. And so long story short, we convinced AT&T this was a good idea. And we actually at their IoT lab up in North Dallas, I think it's in Addison, we went and we started building a smart door with AT&T. And about 6 months into the process, they called me up and they said, well, we got two problems. You go, first of all, we still love your idea, but it's going to cost like $3,500 to build a door. Do you think your market's going to be willing to pay $3,500? I'm like, well, probably not. I said, that's good. Because the other problem was your door is going to weigh like 600 pounds and I'm just not sure it's going to close. And so the door falls by the wayside, kind of. We've got patents on the door. We've still got patents on the package. We protected the crud out of that. And I still think someday the door is going to, in some form, is going to come back and be a benefit to us. But that was, you know, I was very prideful. I'm very prideful of the door and this is Smartment brand, and I won't get into a Smartment, that's a long story, but the door is really funny. So the guys on our team, the smart guys, came together and they said, hey man, Dave feels bad. Let's see if we can't figure out another solution. And they sat around, they started working through this, and they iterated to a point where we have now this smart thermostat.
Mm.
And it's a cool story, but it just speaks to the fact that we just built an incredible team of people who think outside the box. We hired a lot of people who had no background whatsoever in multifamily. And I think that's important is, you know, those of us who are lifers, we take certain things for granted, and getting that, you know, idea from somebody outside of the space who said, hey, have you thought about this? That strategy works, and it worked for us. And I was telling you at the break here a minute ago that, you know, like with the smart thermostat, we started going around shopping it out, trying to find someone to help us build it. And everybody's like, no, that's a bad idea. You don't want to use LoRa. LoRa is an old technology. you need to be focused on BLE5 or, you know, new Zigbee, Z-Wave, something like that. But LoRa's a bad idea. And the guy who helped us building, I named Trey Johnson, he came from the agriculture space, and he was using LoRa to track amounts of water to different parts of farms. And he was using it to send small packets of information to that back over. And he's like, man, I think it'll work in this space. And so we stuck to our guns, and we started building it out. Well, that was like late 2019. We still weren't sure we were right, but we were still a little self-conscious, but we were trudging forward in building our thermostat. Amazon has their reInvent conference, and they come out with Sidewalk, and they talk about a dog collar that they can track up to 7 miles away. Well, as soon as they said that, we're like, well, wait a minute, that's what LoRa does. It's got a range of about 7 miles. I wonder if they're using LoRa for that. We did a little bit of research, and one of our development partners actually was a big Amazon group, and they told them what we were doing. They're like, oh yeah, this is LoRa. And so Amazon and us worked together through 2020 to build out all of our back end on their platform. And then at 2020 reInvent conference, we were introduced as one of four companies that were providing LoRa solutions on their new LoRa Enterprise product that, in their view of the world as relates to IoT, they're going to have LoRa antennas all over the place controlling IoT devices. That's where they're going with this whole thing. And we have a solution that fits perfectly within that arena. And AWS is not a bad name to have behind your idea. No. And so it's been a really fun ride. We think we've been extremely blessed, and we think we are on the verge of some really cool stuff.
Well, in the last 30 seconds we've got in this segment, tell our listeners, if they want to find out more about your companies, how can they do that?
Yeah, I mean, we Madera Residential, that's just, you know, we buy and manage apartments, and we've been doing that, like I said, since 2008. We've started a fee management company called Rockwood. We're doing fee management for other customers. So those of you guys wondering out there, like, hey, I need a good operator. We're that operator. We're doing it differently, and it would take more than the 45 seconds or so that I have to talk about that. Our company is called Quext, and onequext.com is our website, and you can go there to see all of our technology solutions and learn a whole bunch. Our marketing team's done an incredible job at that site. And then our bank is called Viva, and you're going to see us bringing out a number of banking solutions at a time where I think that makes a lot of sense for our space.
Well, and I, by the way, Quext and Madera's logos will be on the episode page of the radio show website at multifamilyradio.com. We will be able to link that to your website, so if someone wants to go there and click on it, they can go directly to your websites. But Dave, thank you so much for being here today. Love to have you back again. You got a lot of great information and advice for people in the industry. So we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.